bad. I'm gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain come tumbling down.
Hi, welcome back to In the Garden. I'm your host, Kelly Casey, and today we're taking another walk around the neighborhood, and we have found a new neighbor, and he is a 6th Street neighbor, and I got his name from a previous interview, Dick Graham. Thanks a lot, Dick. And we are looking for neighbors that have a garden story to tell. We are going to be talking to Rick McDaniel. Hi, Rick.
Hello.
You and your lovely wife bought a beautiful property, and you were telling me about some of the challenges of having a new property, having some of the discoveries that you've made, and we're going to get into those in a little bit. But first, a little bit, why did you choose this property, especially for the gardening bug inside you? Give us a little bit of history of what you were looking for in a property.
Sure. So we lived in Rosemount. And we had a fairly large house there, decided we wanted to downsize. So we started looking, and I don't know that we downsized that much, but the house sold us. The pictures of the interior and when we walked into it, that old wood, it's just gorgeous. And we kind of fell in love with it. It was love at first sight, I guess you could say. Uh-huh. So we decided, let's buy it, and we'll see what comes.
And part of that seeing what's come, I understand that you bought the property. It's a wonderful located property here in Hastings, but you bought it in the middle of the winter, so you had a lot of unknowns.
We actually did, yeah. You know, the yard, we had no idea what it looked like, of course. But doing the walkthrough, and we had the house inspected by a guy that's kind of, that's what he does, is old homes. And so he was able to, you know, say, hey, you know, if I was buying this house, I wouldn't be afraid to buy it. It's got those great bones. I'm doing that thing with my fingers, right? It's got the great bones. And, you know, he was really impressed with it. So we decided to take the plunge and see what we got.
So what you got, though, is we're standing here. We're actually right in here in the front yard. And we're going to do a little walk around the property and just kind of highlight some of the things that you thought that you might be able to coax, especially out of the gardening aspects, the live outside parts of this property. And what drew you the most? I mean, the curb appeal is really, really nice, mainly because you have a beautiful outdoor porch.
Yeah, that, you know, that was one of the selling points for us. It needed paint. We knew that when we bought it. And it needed some cleaning up, I'd say, because there were layers upon top of layers of paint. So the first year I didn't touch it, though. But last year I started on it and ran into a few problems. Challenges, I guess you could call them.
Well, anything outside of the front door, you really don't know exactly what you're going to get. And as I said, the beautiful porch that really sets off your yard and garden was a discovery process.
Yeah, so once I started working on it and stripping the paint down, I started to find some rotten wood in the two front corners. And it looked like they had, at one time, it had ants pretty bad that destroyed the wood. And so, you know, you peel back that first layer of the onion, what do you get? You get another layer of onion. And that's where I ended up. I had to peel back several layers and replace some of the, not very much structural wood, but wood that, you know, kind of sealed it all up, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. And then on the inside, the wood there was original to the porch, and I really didn't want to replace it, but it was in really bad shape. So I tore it all down at the end of summer, took it to my basement, and I restored all that wood, the cedar, and restored that all by flipping it over and using the backside and just staining and, you know, resealing it. And it came out beautiful, I think. And I got to reuse versus tearing it out, throwing it in the garbage, and, you know, buying all new stuff.
I think that's really important. We talk a lot on this show about reuse and recycle, both in plant materials and the things that highlight your gardens. We're going to take a little walk here, and I noticed you said that you were going to work on your front yard coming in, coming up soon, but that you started with kind of your back areas. You've got a beautiful arch, and you've got a fenced in. Tell us a little bit about that process. Why did you feel that it was important to keep those features that drew you to the house in the first place?
Well, and that was one of the things. The lady that had the house before us, Fran, she had a very good eye. She had a great eye. She was an artist, and she just did things that, you know, was appealing to the eye, and it was, you know, it was comforting and very well done. You know, she had that eye. Mm-hmm.
And so you just decided to paint the house with a green accent that will, as these beautiful gardens come in, you've got a lot of blooming plants out front. You've got some lilies, you've got some wigelia, and so lots of tulips and some sedum, things like that, that are going to highlight that green. And then the white also sets out whatever you decide to do here. But you have the white picket fence. I think everybody, that's their American dream.
So that was, you know, that white picket fence is kind of a good one. So we actually replaced that last year. It was in place, but it was in pretty bad shape with the pickets starting to fall off and some rotten wood and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So that was a project we decided to tackle last year to the outside. And, you know, I love it. I love the picket fence. And once we go back there, we can talk more about it, but we have a grapevine back there that, you know, grows down the fence and that type of stuff. So,
you know, and a lot of people, as they are putting together their idea of what they'd like to do with a property, whether they've just purchased it or whether they've had it a little while and they're doing some updating and some renovating, they look at it with a different eye because of that maintenance.
Sure. Yeah. And that's actually, we went plastic. It is a plastic fence, which there's pluses and minuses, I guess, and some people don't like the plastic, but it's going to be there a lot longer than a wooden picket fence will. And that was, you know, that was part of our thing. All right, let's do this once, and, you know, we probably will never have to worry about it again.
Especially on the arbor, when you get any kind of weight of plants on that arbor, whether you're using rose bushes or if you're having climbing, you know, vines of any kind, that support takes its toll over the years.
It absolutely does. And you could see that in the picket fence. It, you know, you could see where the grapes had grown around to it, and it was really causing damage to it there. Mm-hmm.
All right, so this feature, we're around the back now, and once again, we're with Rick McDaniel, and he is a new neighbor here in Hastings. They've had their property a couple of years now, and although it's located near the historic district, you didn't have the requirements or the regulations for a historic home. So was that a plus or a minus or both?
I think to us it was a plus. You know, it gets pretty strict when you have a historic home on what you can and can't do, and it kind of drives up prices of things that, you know, like a new roof, let's say, it's going to be really expensive because it has to meet a certain standard. Anything to the outside has to meet a certain standard. Mm-hmm.
And it probably influences what you decide to do outside as well, because you have to have, especially around the foundation, you don't want to have any plantings. And this is probably something that's good for whatever home you have. You don't want to have plantings that are going to encroach. Now, you have a stucco exterior along the foundation, and those can be kind of a sticky wicket when, you know, weathering and water influences. So you don't want also roots impeding into that stucco.
Exactly. Yeah. So when we bought the house, the basement, there was some water down there, but it was mainly drainage issues from low spots around the house. Mm-hmm. We also had gutters installed to direct the water away from the house too. And it's been dry ever since. So mm-hmm. I redid the basement. I restuccoed some of the plaster that was breaking. And, you know, we painted down there with water seal paint, that type of thing. And it's been great so far. So,
And Roots can really do a number on a lot of different surfaces, but especially around your plumbing and your anything that comes out to the street or pipes like that. I know we had a property at one time where we had Roots inside of our exterior water going out to the street. Boy, was that expensive.
Yeah, things you can't do yourself usually are.
That's true. Well, I think there's going to be a lot of potential here. Now, I noticed on the west side of your house where you're going to have a lot of light and you're going to have a lot of wonderful planting abilities. Do you have something earmarked in the future for this part of your yard?
Absolutely. That is our vegetable garden. So once the snow melted, that first year, we were like, oh, look here. What do we have here? And there was a stone, the stone wall there that you can kind of see. And the stones weren't set in any form. They were just stacked on top of each other. So most of them had fallen during the winter. Mm-hmm. But I realized immediately what a great place for a salsa garden. We can grow our tomatoes. We can grow our peppers. We can grow our, you know, jalapenos, all that type of stuff. Yep. And down on the very far end down there, and I love this. This is one of the greatest things about this garden, is right by the fence is asparagus. And so it started coming up, and that's my morning ritual, is I graze the backyard. I'll go out and I'll cut me some fresh asparagus and clean it up, and I'll just eat it raw. It's so sweet. It's so tender. It's awesome.
And I tell you what, it takes a long time and a little bit of skill to get an asparagus bed entrenched, because they don't, I mean, and they're a little bit picky as far as their location. If it's a little bit too moist, they can rot out. If it's not moist enough, they're not vigorous. But I think, if you can keep that away from the wildlife that prowl at night.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, we haven't had much trouble here, surprisingly enough. Like I said, we've had tomatoes in here, corn, and all the peppers, you know, different things growing throughout the year. And we really haven't had, and I was going to put up a fence, but we haven't had the problem, so I haven't put one up.
Well, knock on wood or PVC, whichever, we're gonna knock on wood that is not a problem for you. All right, so if you've got vegetables and you've got some plantings here with some shrubbery, and you've also got some perennials, I believe those are probably hydrangeas on the west?
They are hydrangeas, correct, and they are very vigorous growers. We've whacked those down every year and let
those can really get away from people as well too. Yeah. But you have to know the type of hydrangea that it is, so that you don't whack it inappropriately. so that it's the wrong kind and it doesn't. So many people though they like to trim things up in the spring, and then they don't have any blossoming, and they wonder why. Well, they have the different kind of hydrangea, and my co-host Char would always say, know what kind of hydrangeas that you have so that you don't prune indiscriminately.
Yeah, and to be honest, I had no clue. And my wife said, I think we're supposed to cut them down in the winter and just, let's just whack them back and see what they do. So the first year, that's what we did. And they came back beautiful the next year and they blossom. So that's what we've, right or wrong, that's what we've been doing. And they come back every year and they're beautiful.
They really are. And they really set off the house as well as hiding some of the utilities that are on the side.
Exactly. Exactly. Hides our water main over there. And yeah, you're exactly right.
All right, so we're looking at the property, and once again, I thank Rick McDaniel for joining me on this neighbor edition of In the Garden. And, you know, Rick, I just think you have such a unique property here, because you have the space, and I was asking you before whether or not you're going to enlarge the gardens so you don't have so much to mow, and what'd you tell me?
I said, I kind of like grass. I actually enjoy mowing. And I just love having a thick lawn that, you know, I cut, fresh cut, and it smells good. And we also have a little benefit here. And Fran, again, installed a sprinkler system, which gives me a huge advantage, you know, for liking grass and helping it grow. So,
well, it takes the guesswork too out of the coverage that you need, and you're also to adjust the rate. And I know, you know, after the last couple of years of severe drought, hopefully we won't have that this year. Right. Hopefully there won't be any watering restrictions or bans. But in so many communities, grass is a luxury.
It really is. It really is. And I'm originally a California native, and watering was banned because of the drought conditions in California. So
we're right here alongside the Mississippi River, and we don't want to take that water resource for granted in any way. But if you're going to be a gardener, if you're going to try to get your yard to flourish, it is one of those things. But there are also things that you can do to reserve the water flow. Like you said, you installed the gutters and you have that collection. A lot of people have rain barrels and other collection sources. Let's get back to your garden a little bit. Do you also use that, any kind of, now because you're right alongside your yard here, right alongside the grass here, do you use any kind of different fertilizer or anything on those?
I don't actually. The soil there seems to be very good, and typically all I'll do is I will mulch into it with grass clipping and leaves at the end of the year, and usually in the spring I turn it under, but I haven't fertilized at all.
Well, if you can get by without that, that's great. A lot of people grow, you know, more of an organic and more of a natural source. And I think if you can establish a bed, and you don't have an, I mean, some people really have huge, huge gardens. I think for a salsa garden, this is much more than enough. And we will make sure that we check back with you during the season and see how that's coming. Is there anything else that you would say for people who are looking for a property that would like to incorporate their love of the outdoors? Like I said, that beautiful porch that leads right to your outdoors, the gated fenced-in backyard. It's not immense, but it gives you a little bit of everything in this property. What should people be looking for? You know, obviously do your homework, but what's some of the things that you're glad you knew when you just selected this property?
So for us, it was all about the house, and then we had some bonuses. Our arbor that's in our backyard, those are grapevines. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know they were grapevines. I was guessing they were grapevines when we bought the house. And so every year, that's part of my grazing routine, is I walk out there and I can pick grapes and eat them right off the vine. And they're, you know, they're so good. And along the back fence, we have another grapevine. And then I have two apple trees also that are back there. So the house was it for us, but then there were so many bonuses. We knew we had enough room to do the gardens, and we didn't want the yard too big, but I still wanted my yard, so it was a really good fit for us. Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody has an individual thing that they're looking for in their house. Thank you so much, Rick, for sharing your property with us. And thank you for allowing me to, once again, I just drove up and I said, can I talk to you about your garden? And I think after you, you know, got done wondering who I was, we would like to do this. If you have a neighbor or if you have someone who has a great garden to share, please put them in contact with me. And we would be happy to stop by your house and take a look at your gardens. Thank you so much, Rick, for being here. And once again, I'm Kelly with In the Garden. You'll hear us every Wednesday here on KDWA. That's our show for today. Be sure to tune in next week to In the Garden with Kelly and Char. Heard each Wednesday on KDWA Radio and online at kdwa.com. Time is close, that rain for rain, sun and rain. I find my